Last night was a signature win by definition for the Denver Nuggets as they didn't lock up the number one seed, but it's kind of locked up.
It feels like it. It feels like it's over.
It feels like it's over. There's two games left in the season. If Denver wins both of them, they're the number one seed. It's not a hard story to follow. The two games are against the San Antonio Spurs and the Memphis Grizzlies. They are both very bad. Victor Wembanyama, I am not expecting to see him again through the rest of the season, as they will shut him down. There's nothing else to gain. He has shown everything that you could possibly want to see from a generational prospect. I think he's going to unanimously win Rookie of the Year and finish a runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year.
He should.
So you go win those games, you're number one seed. How fun was last night, Phil?
It was fun, man. It was fun. It was like, looking back at it now, it's like we got to be in the arena, Ball Arena, their last home game.
Yep.
I didn't even think about that. Last home game.
Yep.
It was fan appreciation night.
It was.
One of the biggest games that's not a playoff game.
Yep.
And got to see someone like Jokic in person.
41 points.
Good, yeah. It's a pretty good night.
Pretty good night. 16 of 20. He was absolutely just, goodness gracious. There's no doubt left in the MVP conversation for him or McKinnon. Been talking about that for months. What was your favorite part of the game?
Now are we talking about Jokic? Or are we talking about?
It could be anything. You were there. You were live. You were there for four quarters. I was there for four quarters. Was there like what was your favorite? Was there
moment,
play, sequence, anything?
Well, of course, you had the double trouble. They were fun to watch.
Yes, they were.
But I'm gonna be a little bit more technical. I love what they did in crunch time. How they pulled away. How MPJ made it an 8-point game. With that three, or that, I don't even think it was a three. It was a fadeaway two.
Yeah, it's a long two, yeah.
Yeah, fadeaway two. Just how dominant they were, how they looked, like they were unfazed, and how the Timberwolves looked as they continued to not have any answers for any of the five starters on the court. So that was my favorite moment of just kind of stepping on the head of the snake, getting out the sword,
yeah,
and chopping it off to let everybody know that we are the champions.
Dude, I got to read this stat, and let me find it really quick, about Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is great, all right? He is a great player, but boy, he struggles against the Nuggets in crunch time, all right? And you look at the fourth quarters this season against Denver, he is a minus 23 in fourth quarters against Denver this season. So, in fourth quarters, when Anthony Edwards is on the floor, he has been outscored by 23 points. The Wolves have been outscored by 23 points in fourth quarters when he's on the floor against the Nuggets. Zero yesterday. 0 points in the fourth quarter when the game hung in the balance. And Michael Malone, after the game, talking about just simply sticking to Denver Nuggets basketball.
The process is come to work every day. Get better. Don't be satisfied. You know, somebody asked before the game, like, what I'm most proud about. I'm most proud of the fact that as a reigning world champion, we haven't been satisfied the whole year. And you got to stay hungry because we got 29 teams right behind us trying to take what we have.
Typically, after you win a championship, there's a championship hangover. There hasn't been anything close to a hangover. Phil, they're going to finish with the number one seed, and if that happens, they would have gone 2-0 against Memphis and San Antonio. If they go 2-0 against Memphis and San Antonio, the Denver Nuggets are going to win the most games they've ever won in any season in the entire history of the franchise the year after winning it all.
They want it. They want to feel that chill of the trophy again.
Oh, no.
They're just, this is their moment, right? This is their window. They understand the opportunity. They understand that at some point in their lives, they're not going to be together as a team. This is not going to look the same, even next year. Hopefully it does. Mm. But we have a couple of things that we're going to have to get taken care of for that to happen. So this may be their last year where they're all together as a unit before someone like Christian Brown and Peyton Watson end up having to step up and be in the starting lineup
Yeah,
well, you know, for that next year.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens with KCP. I mean, that's a fascinating dynamic here, and it's almost like in some ways, like, and even with Bruce last year, it's like you could see it happening in advance. You know that, like, Bruce had a player option, so he signed a 2-year deal, but the second year was a player option. So if he killed it, he could just opt out and become a free agent again. He did, and he got paid a ton of money. But we already knew that was happening in advance, to the point where we're at the parade, and Michael Malone is talking about Bruce Brown coming back. So we already knew in advance, and you can kind of see it with KCP. And we'll see what happens if they get a new deal done. But it's one of these things where it's like, remember, like, your senior year of high school? And it's like you're
last ride with your boys.
Yeah, like your spring semester, your senior year, and like, you know, it's coming to a close.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't quite the same, because I think the Nuggets championship window could be open from years to come, but not with this exact group. It won't be this exact group, more than likely.
When they go into that locker room that next year, they're not going to have the exact same team and the teammate that they loved and enjoyed playing with. They're going to have to build it back up, trust the young ones coming up, because that's just how life goes in the sports world. Right? The circle of life in the sports world.
Yeah. No, it is. That's exactly what it is. That atmosphere was incredible. You could feel just being there in the pregame. And we were there pretty early. We were there 45 minutes early or whatever
Maybe an hour.
Yeah. We left right here from the station and went down to the game. But you could it felt like the thickness in the air of a big game. It's like you can't see it. You can't touch it, but somehow you can feel it.
Quiet before the storm.
Yes.
Yeah, I think everybody understood that this was a big game. Even the fans trickling in.
Totally.
Right? They were quiet. There wasn't nobody that was just like excited, like giddy and stuff. Like, everybody knew this was a serious game.
Yeah.
Serious moment, and everybody had to be ready for it. The fans helped that game out.
Totally.
When you have that electric energy going with the fans, it helps teams play better. It helps us play better. It helps the double trouble Young Bucks play better. So that's the kind of energy you need in the playoffs.
Here's Michael Malone asked about selling out every home game this season.
It's incredible. I mean, I go back to, you know, year one, and I remember beating all the business people saying, well, coach, I know you're not going to want to hear this, but you got to win before they come. And, you know, most of the people who live in Denver aren't Denver natives, right? They didn't grow up Denver Nugget fans. A lot of them have been here. And I've met a lot of those people along the way and at the parade, from what I remember. And appreciate y'all paying attention. You know, but for us to, you know, 9 years in the making to get to a point where this has become the toughest place to play in the NBA.
My man Michael Malone was turned up at the parade.
Dynasty!
But Denver has become the toughest place in the NBA to play.
Yeah, for many different reasons. From the altitude to having some of the greatest players that play the game on your team, to the fan base. It's hard to win here, Zach. It's hard to win here, especially if you think you're going to come in here and win some series, right? Couple games, like, it's hard to do that.
It's hard to do, man. Best player in the world, best starting five in the world, home court advantage, championship experience. Title goes through Denver. And if you plan on taking that road, bring a lunch. Bring a lunch. The NFL draft is 14 days away. If the Broncos don't go quarterback in the first round, what three positions would we have an open mind for them drafting? That's coming up next. The NFL draft is 14 days away. If the Denver Broncos don't go quarterback, what three positions would we be open to them drafting? Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. I want a quarterback.
We have to have a quarterback. It's a must.
If you don't, what's the plan here?
Well, I'm gonna be asking Sean that. Like, what's the question? What's the plan?
Yes.
You need a quarterback. If we don't get a quarterback, all right, then you have to go get Brock Bowers.
Yes.
If he's there.
Sure.
Right?
That'd be great.
You have to go get that tight end. We need a tight end. The recipe for success right now in the NFL is quarterback tight end. If you can have a duo with them, dynamic duo with them, you're going to have success.
And you made a good point, you know, back in the playoffs when it was the Final Four. It was like, look at the Final Four. They all have, it's like four of like the six best tight ends in the sport. And Kelsey, it was Kittle.
Yeah.
It was Sam Laporta.
Laporta was there.
And was it Mark Andrews with the Ravens?
Mark Andrews, yep.
If the Broncos don't, let me just say this though, circle back to quarterback one for 1 second. If the Broncos walk away from the first round without a quarterback, I'll be convinced it was a miscalculation like that we were talking about yesterday.
A miscalculation in what way?
Like that they misread, Sean Payton misread the market with who he thought he'd be able to draft and who would be there. And when he said what he said at the Combine, or what was it, the Combine or the Super Bowl? It was the Super Bowl, actually. I'm pretty sure it was the Super Bowl when he was doing all that media, when he did 17 interviews. Pushing a product. It's like the only NFL coach out there pushing a product. It's like, Sean, you just signed a $90 million. Are you sure you have to sell the microchips from Next Gen?
And he had his Jordans on. The only coach I know that goes out there with Jordans.
Yes, yes, yes. That's Sean. That's Sean. Sean is Sean.
Hey, he's paying off that unspoken New Orleans Saints debt.
But if they walk away from the first round without a quarterback, I'll be convinced that it was a miscalculation, that at the Super Bowl, he had in his head that I'm going to be able to draft J.J. McCarthy at 12.
Do you think he opened his mouth too much?
Yes. If that's what it was. First of all, I don't think that you should talk like that anyway when you don't have a quarterback with this.
Well, George was kind of alluding to that, too, when they asked him certain questions. He's like, oh,
yeah,
Sean told you that, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, George did a little too much with Russell, too. How about that video? How about that video?
That was cringeworthy.
How about the video that never went viral? It never went viral at the time, but it was ahead of their draft pick in the first round, where they were supposed to have was it the ninth pick?
Yeah, it was
initially or whatever. Pick. And it's like it's a fake video that it's George Payton calling Russell Wilson, telling him basically he's been drafted with the ninth pick, and we know that they traded for him, but that's supposed to be the joke, that instead of having the ninth pick, they're drafting Russ.
Yeah.
And it's like Russ like winking at the camera and like,
no,
I can't wait to
I'm
get
getting
there.
Drafted. Wink.
Yeah, it's like, dude,
like what?
Cringy.
What's going on?
Cringy.
In this sick world.
So yeah, but I think I'm talking about the Sean, hey, everyone says this is too hard. We're going to make it look easy comment.
Yeah.
Like, why? What's the upside there? Who's winning when you say that? It's only going to be more criticism if you don't get it right.
Well, you just piss everybody off. You piss coaches off, fans off, you know, fans especially, because now it's like, dude, you went out there, said all that. But yeah, if you don't draft a quarterback after saying what you just said.
Right. Right.
Like, what are we doing?
And of course, I mean, we played it a bunch, but this is the quote we're referencing.
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes, listen, it's very difficult. And so I think we'll be really good at this. And I think to some degree, we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
Okay. But the problem there is that you're talking with so much swagger and confidence about something that you've actually never done, ever.
He must have had a glass of wine and was at the Prime Event Center thing.
Did he pay $17,000 for the table next to Prime?
Oh, he's paid the 20.
Look, Sean's a talker. We know that. But when you say stuff like that and you make it sound easy, if you walk away from the first round with no quarterback, and the plan is Jarrett Stidham and Spencer Rattler and Ben DiNucci, that's not a plan. That's not a plan.
Well, to us, to him, it may be a plan.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's going on in that man's head or who he thinks he can develop into it. I don't think it's Spencer Rattler, although I've been hearing names. I would go more of a Bo Nix before I go with a Spencer Rattler.
I agree.
It's just like, I can't see it being J.J. McCarthy's. Like, I keep saying that because it's so obvious. It's obvious if it is because everybody has jumped on board. So then why would you make that comment? I know it was before everybody jumped on board. To me, it's just like there's somebody else out there that he truly thinks nobody likes. And that's why he says what he said. Because J.J. McCarthy was still being talked about.
But not like this.
He just won a national championship.
Yeah,
you know?
but at the Super Bowl, no one was saying top five pick. I think,
yeah.
And basically, to get down to brass tacks, that's my fear of the whole thing. And I know I talked about it yesterday, but it's my whole fear is that Sean Payton had a plan. That plan got disrupted by the draft process itself. Other teams did a huge deep dive into J.J., saw some of the things that Sean liked about J.J., the pro-style offense, the rhythm, the timing, the arm, the athleticism, all this stuff. And now he can't get his guy because it's too much of a risk to move up in draft capital that you don't have. And we could be looking at a scenario where the Broncos are pivoting. So it's scary. Real quick, give me your three positions that you'd be open to if the Broncos don't go quarterback.
Is the tight end involved or no tight end?
Yeah.
So it would go tight end for me. All right, right after tight end, I would have to do maybe a defensive tackle, defensive tackle, because our run game, stopping the run, was awful last year.
Correct.
And then after that, you could probably put up there either a pass rusher or a cornerback. But number one to me has to be the tight end, if it's not a quarterback.
All right, we shall see, just 14 days away. The Denver Nuggets tried to pull off something pretty rare this season, and I think it worked. And another parade may be happening because of it. We'll tell you what it is next. I got my peaches out in Georgia. Yeah, that's it. I get my weed from California. Yeah, that's it. I took my chick up to the north, yeah. Yeah, that's it. I get my light right from the source, yeah. Yeah, that's it. And I see you. The Denver Nuggets tried to pull off something extremely rare this season. And I think it's worked. And we may have another parade in Denver partly because of it. The Nuggets tried to do two things at once this year. Defend a championship while simultaneously developing young players. And I mean real young, second-year players. Second-year players in the league, and in Peyton Watson's case, a first-year playing as an everyday player. Second year in the NBA, first year actually playing on a night-to-night basis. Instead of signing veterans with a higher floor. And Phil, the result, 56 wins currently, a chance to get to 58, which would be the most all-time, the number one seed, and confident young players heading into the playoffs.
That's a great recipe right there. Woo! You're one game away from having the best season ever, right?
Literally.
Best season ever. Was able to develop these players, these young Bulls, from at the beginning we got to see grow. Which is a fascinating, too. When we first started this year, mm-hmm. till now,
yeah,
it's night and day.
Yeah.
And that show yesterday with Christian Brown dunking on Rudy.
Yeah.
Right? Peyton Watson having four blocks.
Six.
Six blocks, my bad.
Career don't, high.
Don't disrespect the man. I'm sorry.
How about that? Most blocks for someone coming off the bench since JaVale McGee in 2012. It's a long time ago.
A long time ago. And so we were able to see these young men develop. On top of still winning, that is a winning recipe, and it's hard to do. But we can't just give it to the young bucks, Zach, because they sprinkled in some veterans in there, too. Reggie Jackson was holding his own.
It's true.
Although sometimes he would frustrate me with some of his shots.
Yeah, that first half, there were some moments that were hard to watch.
Yeah, but having him push back down to his role, mm-hmm. he yep. plays it well. Yep. Holiday.
Yep.
Coming off the bench yep. with his minutes.
Yep.
So you add those, and then you add the rotation with someone like MPJ being in there with these young bucks so that they don't have to worry about the scoring part. They just do their part, which is defense. Electrifying plays. That's what they're called upon.
I love it. I absolutely love to see it. There was a bit of a gamble in some ways with this approach. And I think the idea was, hey, if we can develop these young players, Christian Brown and Peyton Watson in particular, and then Julian Strother more secondarily because he's truly a rookie. He's not going to play in the playoffs. You will not see him. You will not see Zeke Nagy. You will not see Julian Strother. But it's a bit of a risk. It can be, because if it doesn't work, I mean, the bench was hard to watch at times this year. And I think it's going to be more often than not a positive in the playoff for reasons that we've discussed multiple times. But it is a bit of a risk for Calvin Booth, general manager of the Nuggets, to bet on young guys when you're defending a title. And there was a lot. There was literally months for each guy that was hard to watch. Christian Brown was hard to watch for months at a time in the first a portion of the season, first two-thirds. There was times where Peyton Watson was hard to watch. Peyton Watson was benched. Peyton Watson was DMP, coach's decision. And but all of those growing pains has led to this moment. And last night was a playoff, basically a playoff game, playoff atmosphere, playoff intensity. And this is the you're reaping the rewards of a season of patience and development.
Yeah, and Zach, you hit it on the head right there. They're not gonna have to play a lot of minutes, so they can go out there and play free and fast for however minutes they need to play for that day.
Yeah,
and so it's easier. Not a lot to think about. Play great defense. Take smart shots. Make some explosive plays when they're there. Don't force anything, because you have your big brothers, the starting five, the best five in the league, that are sitting right in front of you, that are there to protect you. They're there to do the heavy lifting. You just need to help us out when we want them to get rest. And that's what they looked like yesterday. That's what they got. They understood their role,
yeah.
And they played it well.
And it was so unique, because here you have this important, massively important game, big boy ramifications, and Phil, when it came time to close the game, it was Peyton Watson and Christian Brown closing the game.
I love it.
Instead of Aaron Gordon and KCP. Two veterans watched two young Bucks finish the game. And that is.
You couldn't take Christian Brown off the court after what he did. Zach. Multiple times, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you just can't at that moment. Peyton Watson, defensively, what he did, the six blocks, blocking some in the fourth quarter, right? You can't take him off you need that confidence. This is where you build the confidence, and this is where Malone showed us the trust in those two.
Yes, that trust factor is building and growing between those two young players in particular. And Christian Brown talked about it after the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, like you said, the trust, you know, is a big part of it, obviously. You know, he left us out, you know, through ups and downs throughout the game. You know, he could have subbed us out for, you know, the guys that normally finish the game. But he trusted me and P, trusted our defense, you know, trusted to get it done. You know, those plays don't happen. You know, if we come out earlier, we check out, you know, our usual time. So, you know, him trusting us, coach trusting us in that moment in a big game like that is very meaningful.
I think that is a huge deal for those two guys. Because, Phil,
yeah,
playoffs start.
Playoffs?
9 days from now.
9 days. We've arrived.
Yeah, damn near.
82 games.
Yeah.
All for the playoffs.
Yep. And here we are. And all the Denver Nuggets have is the number one seed and home court advantage through the Western Conference playoffs. It's a really, really exciting. The Nuggets have an opportunity to put themselves alongside the 1997-1998 Denver Bronco back-to-back champions. The only it's almost impossible. Pro sports, winning a title, but back-to-back, it's like.
Look how long it's taken for this to possibly happen. Like, look at it. It's pretty amazing, man.
It is. And I'm telling you, dude, on this new journey of yours this past year.
Yeah.
You are about to have some of the most fun you've ever had, not on a football field, watching these games and the intensity of it and the gravity of what each of these possessions mean, each of these quarters, each of these halves, these games. We are watching one of the great Denver sports teams of all time, and they can put themselves in an even further stratosphere if they can cross the finish line and go back to back.
Back to back.
Back to back.
You know what's funny listening to that interview with Christian Brown?
What's that?
This is he sounds young. How he answers the questions, mm-hmm. How he's talking. And it's funny because it's like, imagine what he's going to be like in 2 years interviewing. That's just like me with the radio, right? Like you sound different over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the case when you're dealing with young players. It's like you see how they are right now. You see how they talk. Now, wait until he interviews 2 years from now when he's won two Super Bowls.
Yeah,
championships.
Yeah.
See how he acts on the podium. See how he talks. See how he handles himself.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty funny and amazing to watch. It's just one of those things I used to see with some of my teammates. Just like the young, and even myself, young. And then as you start to play, as you start getting beat up and hit on and playing in big games, how you start to interact with people.
I love it. Christian Brown, dude, that guy has an attitude.
He got some bunnies.
He does have some bunnies. But I'll tell you this. When he was at Kansas, he was one of the most hated players in the entire country.
I did not know that.
He has an attitude. And I remember saying this last year. Wait until he gets comfortable.
Now, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Good thing for us.
Okay.
Because he's a person. He's actually a personality type that you he in time, once he gets comfortable, he'll become one of the more hated Denver Nuggets by the rest of the league. Because he talks, he's got an attitude. When he was at Kansas, dude, that dude, he would get in your face. He talked to the fans.
Well, look what he did yesterday night.
Just screaming.
Rudy, you know, Rudy's pretty good.
Oh, dude.
On the defensive side,
we all know that. Defensive player of the year, yeah. Put it on his head.
He's pretty good.
But I'm saying, like, this time next year, or in 2 years, like you were forecasting out, he might have something to say to Rudy after. Like, he's kind of a prick on the court. I'm telling you, when he gets comfortable enough, we're going to see the true Christian Brown.
I love to see it. I love to see it. He better not do it to Malone. That's all I got to say. He's going to be sitting there cheering everybody on.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Good conversation. We'll hear for a little bit more from Christian Brown later in the show about that dunk on Rudy Gobert, which we have not played yet. But in the meantime, 14 days away from the NFL draft, if the Broncos don't take a quarterback in the first round, what could an alternate plan be that may not be obvious to us right now? That's coming up next. I'm not here for long. Catch me or I go. Houdini, I come and I go. Prove you got the right to please me. Everybody knows. You want to go Houdini on your friends? It's a fan flyaway. Bye-bye. There you go. Off in the clouds. Presented by Sport Clips. The fan flyaway is back. And we sent someone to the big football game at the end of the year. Now we're sending a lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. What if the Pro Basketball team from Denver is in the Pro Basketball Championship? That'd be pretty freaking cool. Here's what you get. 2 tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for you and a friend from Denver to a destination we don't know yet, 2 nights hotel, and $500 just to have on your trip. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Those of you who previously entered a fan flyaway contest, you're already good. You're part of the club. You're going to be entered to win this one automatically. Once you sign up, you're entered in for all future flyaway contests. Love it. All right, Phil. Could there be an alternate plan at quarterback that may not be obvious to us?
Could there be? Huh.
Could there be an alternate plan at quarterback that's not obvious to us? I'm just asking the question. I'm not telling you this is what's going on. But what if the Broncos miscalculated the quarterback market, thought J.J. McCarthy was going to be there when ultimately he is not? They're also not willing to overdraft a quarterback at 12 like Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. They also don't feel comfortable moving up and mortgaging that all these draft picks in their future. I don't think that's crazy. And I could see a scenario where the Broncos have to pivot post-draft and come up with a new plan. And it's going to drive people nuts.
I wonder how many Plan B, Plan C, Plan D's they have on their draft boards. Because you just don't know.
You just don't know.
You just don't know what's going to happen.
Nope.
All of a sudden, you could pivot in the right direction and pick up somebody you didn't think you were going to pick up. Or it could be like we're talking about now. What are you going to do? What direction should you go? Who at quarterback would you take? Are you going to take? Who is it going to be?
Don't know. But this what do you out of 100?
Yeah.
Out of 100, what would you put the percent down that the Broncos are walking away from the first round with a quarterback?
Nothing's ever 100%, Zach. You know, as much as I want it to be for this situation right here.
Yeah, it's definitely not 100.
So I'm not going to make it 100%, but I'm going to make it pretty damn close. Let's go 98%.
98%, huh?
We have to get a quarterback, Zach. We have to. We have to.
But the circumstances don't necessarily...
Well, what's yours before we go? What would you put yours
70.
At? 70.
70. Yeah.
That we need, like, that we're going to draft a quarterback.
70% likely that the Broncos draft a quarterback. Even if they move back and take Michael Penix or Bo Nix, like, but I'm 70% certain that once the first round is done, Broncos have a quarterback that they picked in the first round. But I just think that, and the reason it's not 98 is because of the roadblocks that are naturally in their way, because the Broncos went on a 5-game win streak. And it's like,
uh-oh.
Instead of a 4-win team, they were 8-9.
Fire Vance. Vance is the reason why we got this 5-game win streak.
So they wanted to fire Vance at the beginning of the year for the bad defense, but the defense played so good.
Yeah,
screwed
not
the Broncos in the draft. Now you got to fire him for that, too.
That's funny.
Yeah, I just, the organic roadblocks, because they went on that streak, is you're picking at 12, not inside the top 5. You don't have immediate draft capital like the Vikings do. You may not love the quarterbacks who are there at 12. Although I will say, Joe Klatt, did you hear Joe Klatt talking about what kind of fit Bo Nix would be for Sean Payton and the Broncos? Check this out.
Here's what I love about Bo Nix: his feet, his schematic acumen, his intelligence. He's off the charts as far as a leader goes. He's accurate. The ball goes to the right spot on time all the time. They were so good and so hard to stop. And it was because of Bo Nix. If he goes to the right organization, and this is why I think Denver fits him like a glove. Sean Payton fits him like a glove. I was in Sean Payton's offense. I know Bo Nix. I know how Bo Nix was taught. This guy is NFL ready. All right. And I love his game, and I think Denver should draft him. He's my 26th player overall.
Damn. So that's a guy who played the position.
Oh, Klatt.
Your boy, your buff brother, shoulder to shoulder. That's a guy who played the position.
Yeah.
Spent a little time in Sean, nothing crazy, but spent time in Sean Payton's offense. So we got a guy who played quarterback, got a guy who knows Sean Payton's offense intimately, and studies college football as much as anyone that we know, saying that Bo Nix is a great fit for the Broncos. This is how flexible I am. I hear that, I'm like, let's ride. Let's go.
Well, first off,
let's ride.
You can't take Russ's saying.
Oh, we'll take whatever we want from Russ. Took a lot from us. We'll take what we need from him.
You're right. We can at least keep the saying, can't we?
Yes, we'll do whatever we want with Russ's material.
This is what I have an issue with, what Klatt has said. Like, he said a lot there. But some of the things, the tangibles that he said, it's like, how do you know? Like, smart. We don't know. Truly, we don't know how. College, Zach, I'm telling you right now, it was way easier to digest a play than when you got to the NFL.
Mm.
It didn't matter where you were. I had players that were from Alabama, and usually Alabama's NFL ready. They were struggling. Because it's just different. The terminology is different. What they want is different. It may not suit you at the time. You may have to adjust. Your body has to adjust. Mentally, are you there? Leadership. That's hard for a rookie to just go in there and lead a bunch of grown men.
Yeah.
And tell them what to do, you know?
Yeah.
It's a pride thing with that. So, like, certain things, it's like, I understand what Klatt's doing. He likes this young man. He's trying to hype him up. But some of it's like, how do you know? Watching it from a video screen? Drew Lock was dominant in college. He wasn't a good leader.
Mm.
He looked smart. He wasn't all that smart when he got in there because it's hard to get the plays down. That's why he had a wristband.
Yeah.
You know, so like those are the things it's like I kind of like stay away from because we just truly don't know. Processing.
Yeah.
Well, when you're in the Oregon's offense and how dominant they are, like how spread out they are, it's easier to process things from your one to your two, especially if they're better than the other team. Can you do that on the fly with grown men coming at you, getting hit, shaking up?
Yeah.
That's all and he could be this guy. But these are the things I think about, Zach, sometimes when I'm thinking about a quarterback.
Can't believe you hate Joel Klatt.
Look at you, starting something.
I'm just kidding. I mean, and I'm seeing, dude, I respect a lot of the stuff you just said right there, especially the leadership part. Like, and I heard Stink talking about this morning. He's like, it takes a rare dude to walk into an NFL locker room as a rookie and be like, follow me.
Like, think about that. What if someone came in that was young, like, what if I would have came in, never done this job, and said, Zach, follow me?
Yeah.
How would you feel? You'd be like, yo, sit your little butt down. Mm. It just comes with the territory. You have to prove it. You have to prove it on that field. I have to prove to you in this radio that you can trust me, that we can get this done every single day, right? It's about proving it. And guess what? How do you trust? How do I prove it? By coming here every single day, by sitting here with you, by picking your brain, by asking you questions. That's the exact same thing someone like Bo Nix is going to have to do with his older receivers, with the quarterback coach, with the head coach. Trust has to be built. You don't just go in there and I'm the captain.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams may have an issue with that because they want him to take the ropes so bad, but he may be kind of like...
Who?
Caleb Williams.
Gotcha.
For the bench, right?
Okay, yep.
Like, they want him to just come in and just be the man.
Right.
It's hard to do that.
Right.
Because now everybody's already mad because of certain situations with the Justin Field thing.
Right.
You know, maybe of what they've seen on the video, if that, you know, makes them angry. And now you're telling me I have to listen to this 21-year-old?
Do you think... No, it's a really good point. A really good point. And that's just typically not the way it works unless the player is just so damn good and has, like, a gravity to them naturally.
Yeah. Who would that be for you?
Honestly, someone that no one's heard of. And so I've only walked in my shoes, but I've been out there as a senior.
Yeah.
And watched a freshman come in that just had a gravity to him that was like, oh my gosh, we're in open gym. It's our seventh time playing together. It's game point, and he's got the ball, and that's what you want. And his kid's name was Andre Pope. He was from, he was a New York kid and ended up being freshman of the year in our conference my senior year. But it was just like, it wasn't talked about. He never said, follow me. He just had a gravitational pull to him with the talent to back it up. And I would imagine, I'm curious for you, is like, hey, and KJ, you got to clip what I just said because I got to send it to my guy, Andre, back home, if you don't mind. Thank you so
much. Shout out, Andre.
You had to have some of that because you walked in and produced right away in the NFL. Like, it took like 10 practices. Brandon Marshall's like, yeah, we have our third down back.
And but I also got in 3 fights. See, that's what people don't understand in DNC. Throughout that time, I was being tried. There was times where I was going to fight I had issues with Vaughn at one point. I had issues with Derek Wolf. Okay, there was another linebacker. And I just, like, to me, I was like, I wasn't taking that stuff. I didn't care to be the leader, but I tell you what, I was going to be who I was and what I'm comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And my comfortability of how I run my things and run my household or whatever the case may be was, I'm going to do the right thing every day. I'm going to show up every day.
Yep.
I'm going to work my tail off. And if you want to rumble, you want to tussle, we could do that too.
Yeah.
I didn't care, Zach. I cared. Like, my zero care was up here.
Yeah.
Like you know, a guy that's, like, scary, like, he's willing to die, so you kind of, like, that's kind of how I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't care who you were. I didn't care you were Von Miller or Derek Wolfe.
Yeah.
You could get this helmet, too, if you want.
I love it.
What do I have to lose?
Yeah.
But being sent home.
Yeah.
Right? So that's how I went that thing.
Yeah. And you getting sent home, that's where you're going after practice anyway.
Yes, I'm going home. It's a little home-cooked meal. My mom washing my clothes. Like,
oh,
my bug bed.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. I heard Slayer say when Al Wilson, the linebacker, showed up, he said as a rookie, he was just like, whoa, he's here. Like, people say, like, he's him. I'm him. Everyone's him now, right?
Yeah, everybody. I'm or I'm a dog. I'm a Chase Claypool, like, I get the heebie-jeebies because he had, like, went on a podcast one time. Chase Claypool.
Dude.
Right?
Not a dog.
But he said it.
God
almighty. He was like, I'm a dog. And how he said it, I knew he wasn't a dog.
Yeah.
You can always smell it out, right?
Dude.
Smell cat when you see it.
Yeah, and you're so stupid. But he's trying to project. That's based off insecurity.
Yeah.
Like, dude, people who are actual dogs don't announce themselves.
No.
You know who doesn't say, the lion's here? A lion. He just walks in the room. So
Jokic is a dog.
Totally.
But he doesn't say anything.
No.
But you know when he steps on that court.
Yeah, you'll feel the bite.
Oh, you're going to feel it.
Yeah, you'll feel the bite before you hear the bark.